Well, some high school football last night saw Miller defeat Noel 49-21. Sheldon beat Belfort 38-25. More football tonight. And, of course, the Riders are kicking off in Ottawa against the Red Blacks at 5:30. The Green Zone pregame show will start at 3:30. So close to clinching a home playoff game now, but they'll need to take care of business starting tonight. We need to win and the Lions to lose to the Stamps tomorrow to officially clinch a home playoff game. And also, if we win and the Ticats beat Toronto, that would also ensure a West Division team will cross over to the East in the playoffs, by the way. So tonight should be a fun game here. Lots to look into this one, even though it's Ottawa, and you may say, oh, they kind of suck. Well, they've lost two in a row, yeah, but we've got rookie kicker Campbell Fair debuting tonight because Brett Lothar has been ruled out with a back injury. A short yardage quarterback Tommy Stevens out with a wonky knee, and Shake and Bake is back, and he is pumped. Can't wait. We haven't seen him since week one.
A long process. A lot of hardships with it, but a lot of beauties in it as well. You know, it's finding the blessing in the lesson each and every single day. And, you know, this process has taught me a lot. And when you love something so much, you're willing to go to the end of the world for it. So, and this is something I'll do that for.
It's going to be fun to see him back. Joining me now, Belton Johnson, our Grey Cup champ. And, of course, Green Zone analyst. I know you're looking forward to seeing him too, aren't you?
Oh, man, that is a welcoming big time, Greg. You know, just the size of Shake and Bake. And he brings a bit of energy to that offense as well, right? And the Riders can use some energy in that offense, man.
Well, we haven't seen him since week one, so it will be fun, definitely. But Belton, let's begin here with our last four games. The Riders have scored just 3 points in the opening 15 minutes. In fact, shut out in three of those four games. Needless to say, even against Ottawa tonight, it's got to be a stronger start. That's got to be the key to ending this losing streak, isn't it?
I'm tired of talking about it. It is, Greg. And, you know, I think even Trevor Harris, he's tired of talking about it. And what better way to do it than to get it done tonight against, what, the worst team in the CFL, the Red Blacks. They're 4-10. They're on a two-game losing streak. They have to get going, man.
It's time. It really is. But I don't know. I don't think I want to hit the panic button until after this game because it's only been two losses in a row. I think there is some concern if we lose, but I don't see us losing. But it's going to be fun to watch because the rookie Campbell Fair is going to be kicking. So I'm curious, Belton, what makes him a success in your eyes tonight?
I would like to see him nail a couple 50-yarders, right? You know, at least be 100% in kicking, you know, extra point or any type of field goal. And, you know, I've heard great things about him in practice when he first got signed with the Riders. You know, where they just had a practice and just like, yep, go out kicking 52-yard, it was good. So, you know, if they could get that going as well, because the kicking game is important in football there, Greg.
Well, as much as I'd like to make him see him make a clutch kick in the final minutes of the game, that should not be happening tonight. I just want to say that. But at least he's going to be comfortable in Ottawa. He played university ball there, so that's a good thing. So you want to see him go 4-for-4, for instance, make a couple 50-footers, and then do you just hold on to him the rest of the way until he kind of messes up, and then we call Lothar back? What do you think?
I think you got to hold on to him if he does good, right? And you know, if he didn't fare well, again, the Riders, they've had how long to figure out this kicking game? Because, you know, we're, what, week 18 here? So they got to get it right. And the thing, like, going into the playoffs, right? Like, you want to be on an uplift, you know, down the stretch here, Greg.
Yeah, it's going to be a litmus test for Campbell Fair tonight for sure. Is Ottawa dangerous, Belton Johnson?
Hey, they're on a two-game losing streak. I know they've, you know, had a trade here with the Stamps giving away one of their defensive players. They're getting stand back, running back. He comes back this week. Yes, they're going to be a dangerous team because they want to get a win just as bad as the Riders. That's why I think it might be a close game here, Greg.
Okay, so you think it's going to be close, but do you think the Riders are going to win?
I got the Riders winning here. I have a win in 28-25 with a field goal kick in my grid.
Wow. Well, you want an exciting finish. Did you pick the Elks to win last week, Belton?
I did not pick the Elks
okay.
to win.
All right, just checking. Just not. Checking. 28-25 for the Riders. Mm-hmm. Okay. I hope it's that fun. And I hope it does come down to that Campbell Fair kick just to have Rider Nation calling you guys up on the post-game show. And there'll be a lot of reaction, I'm sure, win or lose. So, Belton, enjoy the game. Have a good weekend, pal.
Hey, have a good one, Greg.
Well, if you're not into football tonight with the Riders and Red Blacks or Blue Jays and Yankees tomorrow at 2, maybe you're into just chillaxing in front of a brand new movie opening up on the big screen this weekend, The Smashing Machine, starring The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. He plays a wrestler and MMA fighter, Mark Kerr, in this biography about his career. And I guess Kerr struggled a lot with narcotics in his career. Emily Blunt is his high-maintenance wife in this movie. It's getting a lot of good reviews, actually. The Rock recently talking about what he had to undergo to play Mark Kerr in this movie.
There was about 22 prosthetics. I had to put on 30 pounds, just over 30 pounds of muscle. Mark Kerr had, like, just this quality of muscle, like fast-twitch quality muscle, because he was a wrestler. And I had to still put on this weight, still be able to move like an MMA fighter. And being a wrestler, always going in for the double leg takedowns and lifting guys up, he had these massive shoulders. His neck was huge, his chest, his quads. I mean, it was a lot. And by the way, our writer-director, Benny Saft, he said to me, "Hey, DJ, I don't know how to tell you this, and I don't know if you've ever heard this." He goes, "You're going to have to get bigger."
And Rock did get bigger. When I first saw the trailer for this movie, The Smashing Machine, I didn't recognize The Rock initially. It's pretty cool. And there's a little Oscar buzz around his role in this one here, too. Lots of buzz about pipelines in Canada. Alberta's Premier Danielle Smith proposing her province is ready to spend $14 million of taxpayers' money to help get it going on BC's northern coast. She's not wanting to pay for it all, though. She's hoping a private company will pick it up from here. This is something that I know is going to come up again today on Evan Bray's show. She's kind of hoping someone like the CEO of North America's largest energy infrastructure company, Enbridge, Greg Ebel, will come on board. But he told CTV in an interview yesterday that Canada is standing in its own way of becoming an energy superpower.
I don't think you have to look too far to see concrete, real examples of Enbridge and other pipelines being willing to be the proponent of a pipeline if the conditions are set. Mm-hmm. Capital will go to where the conditions are set. And today, the conditions are not set for that pipeline to exist in Canada.
Now, as for barriers standing in the way, there remains opposition amongst Indigenous communities. The Coastal First Nations, for example, have said they don't support a pipeline and oil tanker project in the coastal waters. So how does he feel they can overcome that?
I think one has to consult up front. And I think the premier, I mean, you saw her conference yesterday, is trying to do that. Obviously, we're at the very early stages. I think we have to recognize as Canadians, not everybody is going to be 100% on side with all these projects, regardless of what project is. That's just not the way of any modern society. Look, there's a long ways to go. We're probably getting ahead of ourselves until the condition precedents are put in place.
That's Greg Ebel from Enbridge. He's the CEO. Yeah, there are still plenty of barriers ahead, and I don't know. Prime Minister Mark Carney has got a lot to prove here in the coming weeks and months, that's for sure. Well, it dropped last night at midnight. Her 12th album, Taylor Swift and the Life of a Showgirl. Okay, I've listened to a lot of the tracks already this morning as I've been working. I'm trying to take this seriously. In my household, I've got nothing but girls, so, you know, I've got to be up on my Swiftiness. And I kind of like this new album. I really do. In fact, if you were listening to our sister station across the hall, Z99, last night at midnight, they played it all back to back, and look who stayed up late to listen to it and wants to weigh in. It's our old friend, Wheels. What did you think?
I was shocked, Greg.
Yeah?
It was 12 tracks, every single one unique, and they all stand on their own.
Yeah.
Like, Taylor Swift gets a lot of hype for her music and her lyrics. Some of the albums, like, they're kind of soft and melancholy. This one really brought it.
Well, it's pretty poppy, right?
Yeah.
That's what I like about it. And You're right. Some of her past music can be moody, but Swifties eat it up. I kind of like the R&B Motown feel of this one. This one's called Wood. Knock on wood. I think Bruno Mars just I heard this. Did you?
Never did me any good. I do now, yeah.
A little bit there. A
little Jackson 5 sample in there. That song all about Travis Kelce, of course.
Did you have a favorite yourself?
You know what? I loved Father Figure.
Oh, I got a bit of that too. I was your father figure. You pulled the wrong trigger. This empire belongs to me. Even me. I was interested in hearing that song, but slightly disappointed because George Michael's camp, his estate.
Mm-hmm.
The song Father Figure from the 80s was huge, right? And the estate thanked Taylor Swift for incorporating Father Figure. It's just the title, I guess, because I don't get any Father Figure out of that album.
No, I just love the lyrics in it. She's telling you the story about this father figure she looks up to. And in the bridge, in classic Taylor Swift fashion, she turns the narrative around and she gets angry and talks about being basically she's the father figure. She's the mob boss in the story. And put someone in
Listen
the dirt.
To you dissecting the music. I love it. Now, she also revealed the life of a showgirl with Sabrina Carpenter, how the song ends with crowd noise from the closing night of the Eras tour in Vancouver. Kind of sounds like this. Swift said that when she listens to that, she hears the crowd noise from Vancouver kind of chokes her up because she's transported right back to that Eras tour, which clearly had a huge influence on this album. And I don't know, has she said which one is her favorite yet? I haven't heard.
She hasn't yet. A lot of it's still under wraps, right? She didn't release any singles, Greg. She's got the music video in theaters this weekend, for 3 nights only starting tonight. But we'll dig through that eventually.
Well, and I was checking online. A lot of those theater showings are sold out already in Regina. Today, tomorrow, and Sunday.
She's got the number one movie this weekend in the box office, which is a kick in the pants to The Rock with his new movie that had come out this weekend.
And Wheels, I am going to be watching Jimmy Fallon on Monday night. She's going to be on there because I think it's not only going to be the interview, but you know Jimmy. He always comes up with something creative and probably will interact musically with her, don't you think?
Absolutely. She's doing the circuit. She's doing Seth Meyers as well, and Graham Norton Show.
Are you calling this her best album yet, Wheels?
You know what? I'm not a super Swifty, so I'm really excited about this album, Greg, because I can listen to every song and enjoy it. So for me, I will call it my favorite thus far, but if you're a real Swifty, you're going to spit me out of your mouth because I just don't know the legacy, right?
All right. Who's going to win the Rider game tonight?
Oh, the Riders. I'm not going to guarantee it like I did last week, but Riders will come back with a vengeance tonight.
Well, if you got some yard work to do, hang on. Help is on the way from my buddy Rick Van Dyvendyke, our host of Garden Talk this Sunday morning at 9. And Rick, I'm looking at the overnight lows tonight, 9. That's not so bad. Tomorrow, 3 degrees. Sunday, going down to -3. Frost is in the air, my friend, isn't it?
Yeah, time to pick those last green tomatoes, you know, that you've been waiting for them to ripen, and ripen them inside on some paper and don't let them touch each other and go ripen fine inside.
So are you supposed to put those in a darker area, or does it matter?
It doesn't really matter. Okay. No, it can be darker, lighter, doesn't matter. But, you know, people ask me mostly about carrots, potatoes. What do I do with those? I leave mine in the garden as long as I can. In fact, sometimes I'll put a tarp over top just to hold the heat in the ground, and I can harvest potatoes and carrots right into November.
Wow, okay. So, all right. That's good to know.
They're nice and fresh when you keep them. They get sweeter and sweeter as you put them, especially the carrots.
What about lifting your summer bulbs and where to store them?
Yeah, now it's time to lift the summer bulbs, all your dahlias and your gladiola bulbs and your calla lilies, those kind of things. Those ones you want to start lifting now. Pull them up. If they're still green on the top, let them dry out. Lay them on some paper or hang them or whatever and let them dry. Let the stems turn brown on the bulb. And then once they dry off, cut the green off and then store them in a paper bag. That's probably the best. And with just a little bit of peat moss and then just a little bit of moisture, you can put some garden sulfur in just so that they don't get any funguses or molds in them. And then just put them in a cool, dark place. And then in next April, you can bring them out and put them in pots and get them ready to go next year.
You have an idea for everything. Rick Van Dyvendyke from Garden Talk, Sunday morning at 9, he returns. And, you know, -3 on Sunday night, so I'm thinking, is there an opportunity to water the shrubs and trees and lawn one last time here then, or is that a good idea?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Deep watering your plants in the fall, is especially just before you turn your water off, is the best. Because you're going to want to turn off your manifolds where you've got underground sprinklers in. You want to blow those all out and get them ready to go now. Now it's time. The ground's not going to freeze for a little bit yet, so you can always, if you have a tap that's dedicated tap that's not hooked up to a manifold, you can always water your plants a little bit later. I like using for my trees a root feeder, because then you get the water down deep where the roots are, and then you get them set up for wintertime, and the plants just do so much better.
Okay, Rick, one other thing I was going to ask is, is there anything you can do to protect your plants or trees and shrubs from critters through the winter? And what do you recommend?
Yeah, right now, especially if you've got fruit trees or flowering crabs, anything with a sweet bark, put a tree wrap or tree guard around the trunk. So that, especially, there's so many jackrabbits around now. It's crazy. They love the sweet taste of apple bark and that kind of stuff for the desserts, you know. Make sure that you cover those up. Voles, if you've got voles, especially if you live near a grass area or park area. And what I like doing is putting a shoebox out and cut a hole in the bottom where this mice can get in, the voles get in, and then put a snap trap, a cheap wooden snap trap, and put peanut butter and a raisin on top of that, and then you'll catch all the voles with that. They'll be attracted to that, and then they won't go and mess up your lawn in the wintertime underneath the snow or get eat some of your trees as well.
Rick Van Dyvendyke from Garden Talk. I got to ask one more time because it seems to be a regular text question. Next time you're talking to Rick, ask him. Everyone's complaining about fruit flies. I think it was the last time I had you on the show. You gave a great way to combat fruit flies in the house. So share that one more time because I get it asked all the time.
Wow, fruit flies is an easy one. Everybody usually has a little bit of white vinegar in their house or some flavored vinegar. Put it in a cup and put just a drop of dish soap in. Put some saran wrap over top of that, poke some holes in it, and you'll catch all the fruit flies in your house that way, really easy.
Easy peasy, I love it. Rick Van Dyvendyke, thanks for your time.
Have a great weekend.